This is a special online presentation of the State of the University Address by Southern Illinois University Carbondale Chancellor Rita Chang. Her speech was recorded on Wednesday, September 5th, before a live audience of students, faculty, staff, and community members. WSIU Public Radio is a listener-supported service of Southern Illinois University Carbondale.
Let me begin by sharing with you an email we recently received from Mary Henderlight. Mary and her husband, Hunter, who are from Naperville, moved their freshman daughter into Mae Smith on August 15th. Here is part of what Mary had to say. From the moment we arrived to loads of student and adult volunteers who moved all our daughter's stuff into the 15th floor, to the computer help we received in True Blood, to the bookstore, to the dining hall, and the cookout, nothing could have been better. Since our first visit to SIU last year, every encounter we have had has been personable, and perfect. We have been greeted, smiled at, asked if we had any questions, directed to, helped, laughed with, hugged, and thoroughly welcomed. It truly has been a pleasure. We feel really good about our daughter attending SIU. Mary added a PS to her email. Print a copy of my note, tape it beside your computer. When you get an email or a phone call that is difficult, reread my note. For every parent whose experience it may not be the best, there are hundreds of parents who do not think to write, but who have positive experiences like we did. We all know we have challenges, and I'll get to those, but I think that far too often we get so wrapped up in our work that we don't take a moment to sit back and be proud of what we are doing. I hope you find Mary's comments to be as inspiring as I did, and I want to add my thanks. Yes, for all the efforts during Saluki startup, but also for all that you do day in and day out. For the big things and the little things, what you do matters, and I truly appreciate your commitment and sacrifices. So, what is the state of our university? In my view, we're primed for success. I compare our situation to a marathon. Some of you know I run for exercise. I wouldn't call myself a runner, but I do get out there. Think of the annual river-to-river race for the dedicated runners in Southern Illinois. Each member of a team, and team is the key word, has a role to play. Helping the team complete the race, and completion is the key word here, requires significant preparation on the part of each runner. Together, the team members must plot a winning strategy, take that one into account, the peaks and the valleys of the course, and cope with external circumstances that could impact their performance, such as headwinds. When all the pieces come together, the team achieves success. As I discuss many of the initiatives that we have put in place over the past year, I believe you will see that this is indeed a marathon, that we're going to experience peaks and valleys, that we are affected by external circumstances, and that it is up to us, working as a team, to bring all the pieces together to reach our goals. What you see on the screen are my goals, developed in concert with President Pichard and the Board of Trustees, which have anchored our work since I arrived in 2010. I'll discuss our progress in these areas today. Certainly, building enrollment focuses on both recruitment and retention strategies. Campus planning is important for our future, as is a strong leadership team. Financial stability must be a cause of ours, as is the community spirit that that we bring to the campus. Our policies and procedures must guide our work. A strong advancement team is important to bring resources to the campus, and our buildings and grounds must support the living learning environment that we're creating. So, goal number one, student enrollment. Our results here are mixed. Throughout the summer, we were seeing increases in freshman applications and admissions. As our official enrollment report shows, however, freshman enrollment has dipped for the first time in 5 semesters. The blue line on this chart shows new on-campus students. The green line is on-campus transfer students. The purple line is off-campus transfer students. And the red line shows new off-campus students. We had a large increase in the freshman class last year, and we weren't able to sustain it this fall. Please keep in mind that in the 2 years prior to 2010, enrollment among first-time students fell by 12.9%. Since 2010, the number of new first-time students has increased by 2.6%. The official numbers we released yesterday show that overall enrollment did fall by 4.5%. No surprises here. We anticipated that based on the smaller junior and senior classes that reflect past enrollment declines and the dramatic drop in transfer students. Several additional factors are at work here, but before I detail those, I want to give a public vote of confidence to the staff of the enrollment management area. New best practice student recruitment programs and processes are in place. And our undergraduate admissions folks have devoted significant time and resources to boosting enrollment. We are sending fresh and exciting recruitment materials, more than 750,000 pieces, to a larger number of prospective students than ever before. For the first time, we are now reaching to students at the same time or ahead of peer institutions. We began recruiting efforts for fall 2013 last week, the earliest that has ever happened. We expect to reach 500,000 prospective students in this recruiting cycle. We're working more closely with more high schools and community college counselors than ever before. Remember, this is a marathon. We are doing many things right, and there clearly are signs that we are gaining momentum. 6 of our 8 colleges recorded increases in enrollment for new first-time students. Those colleges are science, business, education and human services, engineering, liberal arts, mass communication, and media arts. Many individual programs also showed increases this fall. Total enrollment is up in the College of Engineering and Science. This reflects our focus on the STEM fields in our advertising and the tremendous emphasis that the faculty and staff in those colleges have put on recruitment of students and retention of students. Our international undergraduate population has increased by 16%. The offsets here are that we had significant drops in freshmen in our Center for Academic Success and in pre-major, which suggests that we are admitting more students who are more connected to our majors. Overall enrollment at the master's and doctoral student level is down from 2011. As in the case of the undergraduate enrollment, many individual programs recorded increases this fall. Unfortunately, there were dramatic drops in the master's level electrical and computer engineering program and in several education program, which impacted overall numbers. So as we launch our aggressive recruitment cycle for next fall, we are closely analyzing all the steps in the recruitment of undergraduate and graduate students. We have engaged external experts to assist us in determining necessary changes in our recruitment. That research includes data analysis and interviews with students who were admitted to SIU but then chose to enroll elsewhere. Unfortunately, what we're hearing is that reputation continues to be an issue we must overcome. We also know we must better leverage our financial aid to increase yield. I have asked our admissions offices to reach a goal of 2,500 new first-time undergraduate and graduate students next year. What is clear is that major changes at the federal level affected hundreds of our students and thousands of students at universities across the country. There are rules imposing new academic standards on students receiving financial aid, such as Pell Grants and subsidized loans. If they fail to meet minimum requirements, they lose federal aid. 2/3 of our students who did not return failed to meet new federal academic standards. Many of our students also were affected by new federal rules cutting aid off after 12 semesters. In addition, due to the economy, the number of students in Illinois applying for the Monetary Assistance Program grants continued to go up, and these funds ran out in March, again affecting many SIU students and prospective students. Another change involved our status as an experimental site. In this program, we had the opportunity to help students with their bursar holds by applying current financial aid to their accounts. That option expired for all universities in July. So the financial pressures on today's college students and their families are huge. When we discuss financial aid, we often talk about unmet need. That's the gap that remains after expected family contribution, or EFC, and financial aid are applied to the cost of attendance. Of course, we want that number to be zero. Although we have doubled the amount of institutional aid we offer, we are not able to address all of our student needs. The expected family contribution has continued to go up, and as you see from the slide, that means that unmet need, or gap, has also grown. It has doubled in 3 years. The foundations of our university is to provide educational opportunity for all who desire it. That isn't happening, and at a higher rate every year. In response to the growing need, we have significantly increased our institutional aid. Prior to fiscal 2011, the university had $2.45 million in need-based institutional aid available. In order to maintain or regain some competitiveness for the best students, it was clear that we needed to invest significantly more in this important recruitment tool at a very difficult financial time. In fiscal year 11, we reallocated $500,000 in aid and added $2 million more in institutional aid specifically for Illinois students. That additional investment of $2.5 million has continued through fiscal 12 and the current year. In addition to fiscal issues, demographic issues continue to affect our enrollment. As you can see from this slide, the number of high school graduates nationally peaked in 2008. We are still several years away from an upswing. You can see what has been happening in Illinois high schools in this slide. We must recognize that the continuing precipitous drop in the number of high school graduates will not turn around in Illinois for another 6 years. We continue to be challenged by downturns in the enrollment from 2008 and 9 and 9 and 10 school years, highlighted in red on this chart. Those smaller classes are still working their way through. That fact remains that we are still better off than we were in 2010. However, our junior class is our smallest class and will be working its way through. The statewide decline in high school graduates is also reflected regionally. Only two of the 11 local high schools in Southern Illinois showed enrollment increases from fall 10 to fall 11. Our region's community colleges have long been an important source of transfer students. However, after several years of growth, they too experienced enrollment declines, reflected in the light blue bars on this chart. Those declines contributed to our enrollment situation, as the number of transfer students who enrolled at SIU, shown by the green line, fell by 13.5% to the lowest that has been in years. So added together, we're recruiting in a smaller pool of prospective students. That is all the more reason it is imperative that we employ better strategies and more aggressive recruitment programs. What you see listed on this slide are some of the prevalent myths that prompt us to invest in a data-driven, strategic, sustained recruiting and marketing initiative that has been severely lacking over the last decade. Studies were conducted, recommendations were made, but there was little or no follow-through. And if there's no factual information out there, people will make up whatever they choose to fill the void. As I've said many times before, we need to tell the real story about our university, the story of faculty and staff excellence and of student achievement. It's a compelling story that we must tell over and over again. We need to know more about what goes on in the minds of our prospective students, what goes into the decision-making for our prospective students. Based on the results of current and past research, we have work to do. Interviews with students who did enroll this fall and students who did not indicate the party school reputation remains strong. Even a few students who did enroll called SIU's reputation, in quotes, bad. Some of those we interviewed also said that prospective students think our academic programs are not rigorous and described them as laid back. Unfortunately, there are those who do not consider SIU as the university for serious students. Let me emphasize, this could not be further from the truth, but that myth is out there. It's also a popular myth that we admit unqualified students. On the contrary, the ACT scores of our entering students have remained steady over the past 10 years. In fact, our average ACT is better than the state average. The average high school rank among this year's freshman class is up compared to 2011 and 10, as is the average high school GPA. The fact that these are trending higher is a very positive development, because high school GPA is the number one predictor of college success. I also want to point out that our freshman class reflects our historic commitment to diversity. Students have joined our community from 20 countries. 37% of our students in the class of 2016 are African American, and 8.5% are Hispanic. We attract many highly qualified students, and that is why we have continued to expand the University Honors Program over the past 2 years. 2 years ago, enrollment in University Honors was 220. Today, it is 394. It is the fastest growing program on campus. Another fact is that our tuition and fees are the lowest among the five public research universities in Illinois. We are not overly expensive, but that does not negate the fact that families are stressed. Safety at SIU Carbondale is of vital importance. I am confident that public safety is a priority for the city of Carbondale because I work closely with the city staff and the Carbondale Police Department on significant safety issues, and we continue to partner to improve campus and community life. Specific to our campus, our statistics are on par with the average violent crime index for campuses of similar size across the nation, 62 per 100,000. Our statistics are far lower than the overall U.S. crime rate of 466 per 100,000. Our men and women in our Department of Public Safety do an outstanding job, and I want to thank them for their improvement and their commitment to the quality of campus life. But we all know that there is more that we could be and should be doing. That is why last spring I asked a campus life and safety task force to review our practices. After meeting throughout the summer, the group recently provided me with a thoughtful report and recommendations, which I will be sharing with the campus this fall. Among the key areas in the report are improved communications, university housing practices, student mentoring and life skill development, faculty and staff training, and university and community collaborations. We need to dispel perceptions about safety on campus and make those who live in our community feel safe. Dr. Rosemary Simmons, director of the Counseling Center, and Dr. Joseph Schaefer, professor of criminology and criminal justice, served as co-chairs. My thanks to them and the 13 other task force members for their important work. We also must be responsible for federal and state mandates regarding campus safety. In the wake of the Penn State scandal, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn recently signed an executive order related to abused and neglected children. For the university community, this means that all faculty and staff are now considered mandated reporters if child abuse or neglect is suspected with a child up to the age of 17. This does not apply to those of college age. However, we do attract many younger children to campus, particularly our summer camps, and our training module will be available through our Human Resources Department. We will share that with you. We will all be asked to sign an acknowledgement of mandated reporter status. Another change we are making is related to the Federal Clery Act. It requires all institutions of higher education that participate in the Federal Student Financial Aid Program to disclose information about crime on their campuses and in the surrounding communities. Today, several campus offices are sponsoring the first of four training sessions for 1,200 people designated as campus security authorities. This includes, for example, coaches, registered student organization advisors, housing staff, police officers. In other words, people who may play a significant role in student life. We will hire a compliance person in the Department of Public Safety to work on a number of these critical issues, and clearly the two that I outlined are high on the list. And finally, we know our graduates are anything but dissatisfied. The most recent survey by our SIU Alumni Association shows that 89% of alumni would choose SIU again, and a 95% would recommend their alma mater to their prospective students. We must be cognizant of headwinds nationally and in Illinois. I participate in many conversations at both levels on a regular basis, including as a member of the Complete College America Illinois team and the Illinois Board of Higher Education's Performance Funding Steering Committee. I participate to stay informed and to advocate for our university. We must contend with dwindling federal and state support, significant pension pressures, key changes to course delivery, demographic changes, economic malaise, healthcare reform, and the public debate over the benefit of an education we offer, to name but a few. I want to touch on just a couple of these in more detail. There's no shortage of doubters when it comes to the value of higher education. Obviously, we would not be here if we shared that perspective. But there also is an encouraging new study from Georgetown University's Center on Education and Workforce that offers compelling reasons why a college education, a college degree, matters. Perhaps why it is more important now than ever. The study is The College Advantage, Weathering the Economic Storm. It points out the recession hit those with less schooling disproportionately hard. Nearly 4 out of 5 jobs lost were held by those with no formal education beyond high school. The unemployment rate for recent grads, college grads with a bachelor's degree, is pretty high, 6.8%. But the jobless rate for recent high school grads is nearly 24%. As this chart shows, employment growth over the last 20 years has been entirely through increases in the number of workers with some post-secondary education. On this chart, the green line is the percentage of those with a bachelor's degree, the red line, those with some college or an associate degree, and the blue line represents those with a high school diploma or less. The gray bar represents periods of recession. What has not changed is the earning power of a college degree. The average earnings of someone with a bachelor's degree remain nearly twice as high as those of a worker with only a high school diploma. These are the kind of messages that we need to be sharing as often as possible, both as ambassadors of SIU and of higher education in general. This is why we're here. This is why we work every day, doing the little things and the big things. The Illinois' $83 billion and growing pension crisis will affect all of us and the institution. We have joined with leaders of other public universities to communicate our position to the governor and to the legislative leaders. We acknowledge that we must be part of the solution to a problem that affects every other segment of the state budget. But we will continue to advocate on behalf of our employees and our universities, which will face additional costs of having to pay the employer contribution to pensions rather than the state. The higher education landscape is changing dramatically in terms of course delivery because of technology. We're familiar, of course, with the for-profit providers, though widely criticized for, among other things, their lack of completion and staggering student debt, they continue to be a factor. So too will the growing trend of traditional universities offering online and full degree programs. A variety of other models have sprung up in recent years and even in recent months, including what are often referred to as MOOCs, massive open online courses. Some of you perhaps have heard of edX and Coursera and Udacity. While this approach is still in its infancy, early efforts have shown wide popularity because the courses are free and convenient. The issue, again, is one of validity. Will students eventually earn some type of certificate or badge for completing a course? How will that compare to a traditional degree? Or perhaps most importantly, how will that learning be viewed by employers? Our approach to distance ed has been to embed online offerings into our academic core and expand the reach of our high-quality programs to those who are not in Southern Illinois. Our priorities are faculty oversight, quality, student learning, and completion. Through the Office of Distance Education and Off-Campus Program, which now includes our military off-campus and online programs, we're making solid progress. Online course enrollments this semester stand at 1,927. A year ago, that number was 991. That's dramatic. The number of online courses has grown from 79 last year to 118 this semester. We offer a certificate program, 3 bachelor's degrees, and 4 master's degrees online. Revenues, which totaled $6 million last year, obviously also will grow with this fall's increase in enrollment. It's critical that we continue to devote the necessary resources to high-quality online and distance education. As we focus on changing perceptions and persuading students to enroll, we are also emphasizing student success and completion. That is the imperative of our university, for the state, and for the nation. The Complete College America Illinois team, on which I serve, is part of the overall national initiative. Our goal is to increase the number of adults with college degrees from the current 41% to 60% by 2025. At the current rate, only 49% of Illinois' adult population, or 3.3 million, will hold a college degree by 2025. To reach 60%, we need an additional 710,000 degrees. Our share of that at the SIU campus is 101 additional students each year for 14 years to help reach the 60% goal. We've been asked to do that through the Performance Funding Initiative. However, to reach our goal, we must reverse the trend of Illinois students going out of state for their education. As you can see on this slide, in 2010, only New Jersey exported more students than Illinois. More than half of our high school graduates enrolled in colleges in the border states of Iowa, Indiana, Wisconsin, Missouri, and Kentucky. We also must address our retention rate, which is well below our peers. And here again, many of the initiatives we have been putting in place over the past year or so are still in their infancy. There is no question that we have work to do, and I have established a goal for all of our college deans to raise retention by 2% in each year for the next 5 years. With a 10 percentage point gain in our retention rate, we will be on par with peer institutions. To reiterate my theme, we're primed for success, and there are many reasons I chose this as a theme today. Any discussion of student success needs to center on our university college. The University College helps our new students establish the foundation for success, not only in the first year, but also in their entire careers as Salukis. I want to mention just a few highlights of the exciting initiatives now in place, many of which have been developed behind the scenes, but are key elements of changing our campus culture. This semester, for the first time, all freshmen are required to take the student success course known as UCall 101. This helps students further develop the academic and personal skills they need, not only throughout college, but also throughout their careers. That's why we felt it was important to make the course mandatory. The UCall 101 course, for it to have its intended positive impact, students, of course, must attend. Enter the Saluki Peer Mentors. This new program has involved recruiting, hiring, and training 140 continuing students to connect with our first-year students. These mentors are establishing meaningful relationships with new students to help adjust them to college life, help them become fully engaged in the campus community, and yes, to make sure that our freshmen do attend the UCall 101 courses. We've enhanced academic advising, expanded our tutoring services, and launched a comprehensive customer service training program. I'm excited about the plans to complete the 6th and the 7th floor of the Morris Library and use that space for expanded tutoring services. Plans call for flexible learning spaces with computer labs, tutoring, and small group student study areas, with the library serving as the campus's central learning hub. We also have expanded the early intervention program to identify and assist students in difficulty. A new math placement system ensures students are placed in courses that match their skills, and the new hybrid approaches in use in several English and math courses are showing positive results. Last year, English Chair Michael Molino and faculty in the department created a pilot program focused on a small group of at-risk students in English 101 composition courses. The pilot program achieved remarkable results. The normal success rate in English 101 among Center for Academic Success students was 70%. The pilot success rate was 95%. Now, this fall, every section of English 101, all 107 sections, are employing the software and the teaching approach. An added benefit for students is that when they purchase the course textbook, they receive a 4-year subscription to the software. This year, the English department has partnered with the faculty and graduate assistants in curriculum and instruction, which has a companion reading course known as CI 112. Instructors and graduate assistants in both courses were trained on new software that complements teaching and learning. As Dr. Molino explains, the theory is that students with lower reading ability may do better in writing courses if they have a co-requisite course in reading. Using the same readings in both courses increases the amount of time that students spend working on reading comprehension. By hearing the same terminology and experiencing the same pedagogy in multiple sections, students will be better able to see the connection between the two subjects. Many of you will recall the math department has been using a hybrid approach in gateway courses. This includes greatly expanding mentoring and lab time in recent years. The introduction of a math placement test is designed to ensure our students are enrolled in proper courses, and during the first week of the semester, more than 1,000 students were pre-tested. Then in the second week, these results and other data were given to students to make adjustments in course selection. Math undergraduate program director Mary Wright, math faculty, and staff from the math department and Center for Teaching Excellence then used the data to create student alert lists organized by college, completed with red, orange, yellow alert levels. Deans received these lists yesterday, and they will be updated throughout the semester. The math department will work with each college to organize additional tutoring sessions during open lab times. The new approaches are enhancing student success. Dr. Budsman, chair of the math department, anticipates a 20% increase, or roughly 200 more students, in students who are successful in math 107, 108, and 113 this semester because they have been correctly placed in courses matching their skill levels. To better support student outcomes, we have implemented a number of academic policy changes, and we are launching a program review process. This was a year-long effort that involved reviewing all academic policies, many of which hadn't been revised for many years, and in some cases, conflicting with each other. I want to thank the faculty and staff of the Provost Office for this work and the faculty committees on campus for their long, long hours spent reviewing these policies. They will enhance student success for many years. Research is core to our mission. We must support our scholarly endeavors and grow our funded research. Our students come to SIU to be connected to a research university. This is no small challenge in an environment of reduced federal and state support and increased competition. But the new knowledge created by our researchers and scholars is essential to those we serve and to the nation as a whole. The importance of the contributions to the nation's research universities and the issues we face are underscored in a report issued earlier this year entitled, Research Universities and the Future of America, 10 breakthrough actions vital to our nation's prosperity and security. The report was drafted by a committee appointed by the National Research Council in response to a request from 2 U.S. senators and 2 members of the House of Representatives. It reiterates a fact that we are quite familiar with, and that is that U.S. universities face growing competition from their counterparts abroad, and the nation's global leadership in higher education, unsaleable for generations, is now threatened. The report offers recommendations for changes at the federal and state policy level. It also addresses responsibilities of public research universities. Among the key issues facing university research is reduced federal and state funding. In addition, as the report states, business and industry have largely dismantled the large corporate research laboratories that drove America's industrial leadership in the 20th century. However, business and industry have yet to fully partner with research universities to fill that void. We hope that our elected and appointed federal and state officials, along with the business and industry, take this report to heart. But we must do so as well. There are many excellent recommendations for research universities, including this. Research universities need to be responsive to stakeholders by improving management, productivity, and cost efficiency in both administration and academics. To more effectively manage the very expensive but vital research mission, we have implemented several policy changes over the course of the last year to strengthen our university. These changes include charging tuition to federal grants, establishing fair overhead rates to contracts, reviewing OSPA structures and support, standardizing fiscal officer authority practices, expanding on funding sources, supporting interdisciplinary research initiatives, and ensuring compliance with federal and state requirements. One of my commitments is to strengthen our research infrastructure. Doing so will help increase the number of faculty engaged in funded research, reduce the frustration of entrepreneurial research faculty, improve relations with funding agencies, and create new opportunities for collaboration. As we look ahead to completing the 6th and 7th floors of the library, we also are anticipating completion this winter of the relocation of shelving and books from the McClafferty Annex to the lower level of Morris Library. We will then convert the annex to a facility that will support interdisciplinary research. Equally important will be addressing improvements needed in existing campus labs. Many faculty members make significant contributions. That played a major role in the award of tenure this year to 36 faculty members and the promotion of 21 more to full professor. I'm also confident that the 43 new faculty members joining us this academic year will make significant contributions to our research enterprise. These men and women have outstanding credentials, including doctoral degrees from such institutions as the University of Texas, Temple, Duke, Harvard, University of Pittsburgh, and the University of California, Berkeley. Our list of research accomplishments is extensive. I want to share just a couple of examples. The Fisheries and Illinois Aquaculture Center received $1.7 million for continued research on Asian carp, led by Director James Garvey. The Cooperative Wildlife Research Lab continues to be a top graduate research and education program in wildlife ecology. It brought in more than $1 million in grants and contracts last year and currently supports nearly 30 graduate students. One of those students, Rachel Urbanek, was named Wildlife Student of the Year in 2011 by the North Central Section of the Wildlife Society. Faculty from Cooperative Wildlife Research Lab are working internationally, including Assistant Professor Clay Nielsen, who has had projects in 5 countries over the past year. At the School of Medicine, Professor Kathleen Campbell has been awarded a $1.2 million grant for research into noise-induced hearing loss. Her research in this area has received more than $8.2 million in national and international funding and patent income. The School of Medicine is also working with Southern Illinois Healthcare and the Illinois State Cancer Registry on a critically important project in Southern Illinois. This collaborative study is exploring the cause of disparities in lung cancer treatment in 17 countries and the ways to address the issue. As we strengthen the research infrastructure, we're continuing to make structural and organizational changes to better support our students, faculty, and staff. We have consolidated many independent efforts across campus into one center for undergraduate research in the provost's office. This will create even greater opportunities for our graduates. The Office of Economic and Regional Development, located in the Southern Illinois Research Park, is now part of the Chancellor's Office. I have asked Dennis Craddock, Dean of the College of Business, to take the lead in working with the staff of that office to create and implement initiatives for university innovation, increase collaboration across campus to aid in regional economic revitalization. Remember, SIU Carbondale has an annual economic impact of $859 million in Southern Illinois. Our university is a significant driver of this region's economy, and we have a responsibility to create even greater economic opportunities. International Programs and Services is now the Center for International Education. This more accurately reflects the work and expanded emphasis of this very successful program. After significant study, we have reorganized and in some cases relocated staff and workflow in human resources, payroll, procurement, and IT in order to achieve operational efficiencies. The Center for Academic Success and Pre-Major have been combined into one unit, exploratory students, with one director. We have closed the Ombuds office. This change reflects the declining need for this office with the expansion of duties and responsibilities of various other offices across campus. It will also lower administrative costs. This is an example of a difficult but necessary change we must make in the current fiscal environment. We've consolidated our multicultural efforts in one unit, the Center for Inclusive Excellence, to better serve our students. The center is hosting a meet and greet tomorrow from 4 to 6 in Woody Hall. I encourage you to stop by. We've also changed what was known as the GLBT Resource Center to the LGBTQ Resource Center, reflecting again the need to come to the 21st century. We have welcomed 4 new permanent deans. 2 highly respected faculty members are serving as interim deans. New directors are in place in many key areas, and we have been aggressively working to hire the next Vice Chancellor for Development and Alumni Services. It's important that we recognize that so many people are doing the work that so many more people used to do. I very much appreciate everyone's incredible dedication. When it comes to budget, we are fiscally sound, and we're much better positioned because we know where we are. The Chancellor's Planning and Budget Advisory Committee plays an important role in helping us to keep our fiscal house in order. We have been restructuring, reorganizing, and realigning in response to our budget circumstances. This is where we stand. This fall's lower overall enrollment created a projected decrease in tuition revenue of $3.8 million, effectively eliminating the gain we might have experienced from the tuition increase approved for this year. Enrollment affects more than tuition income, as our auxiliary departments and our other fee-funded areas will have to adjust their budgets as well to accommodate reduced revenues. Similarly, we have to make adjustments within the academic units, recognizing the changes in enrollments. Once we have examined the enrollment data, metrics being developed by the Chancellor's Planning and Budget Advisory Committee will be used to determine the final adjustments to individual colleges. Both the Carbondale campus and the School of Medicine are well aware of the impact of reduced state appropriations. Thankfully, we have worked together to hold down our expenditures, which will greatly assist in addressing this nearly $6.9 million reduction for Carbondale. Last year, we sought and gained approval for a 1% increase in salaries effective January 1. That expense was not built into last year's budget and must be addressed in our planning going forward. Similarly, we are requesting Board of Trustee approval for a 1% salary increase plan for this fiscal year. These two modest increases, important for recognizing our most significant aspect, our people, add more than $2.9 million to the Carbondale campus budget. Regular faculty promotions in 12 and 13 add another $1 million to be addressed. And finally, we have significant need to increase institutional support, as I mentioned before, for scholarships and financial aid, critical to attracting more high-qualified students. Allocating $750,000 to this effort will bring us closer to the levels of our competitors, but more institutional aid is necessary to help achieve desired results. I'll come back to this shortly. In addition to a reduction of $2.5 million in regular state appropriations, the School of Medicine has been dealt an additional blow through elimination of the $2.5 million Excellence in Academic Medicine state grant. Healthcare reform requirements are changing the landscape of healthcare delivery, which have a yet-to-be-determined financial impact on our operations. The School of Medicine must also fund their salary increases. Other issues to consider include the new Transportation Education Center is operational. However, the estimated cost to operate and maintain that huge building are expected to be between $750,000 to $1 million. Next year, we must prioritize the funding for a 2% salary increase, July 1. And the pension crisis is not resolved. We anticipate that the university will need to pick up some of the pension's normal costs, which are 12% of payroll. Even a 1% of that number represents $1.6 million for state-funded operations. And performance funding, as I mentioned before, will continue to affect our budget. These are budget items that we know and anticipate. We continue to look for new revenues, but most importantly, we know what we're dealing with. We're not just standing back wondering what's going to happen. We know that the significant number of retirements this summer means many vacant positions, and I very much appreciate the additional work. But the reality is those unfilled positions, as has been the case since the hiring freeze, help us address our budget challenges. At the September meeting, I'll ask the Board of Trustees for preliminary planning approval for energy conservation projects. The idea is to have an energy efficiency service company conduct energy audits and provide an assessment of how our facilities or areas on campus use energy and manage costs. We then would develop a proposed project and budget, all designed to achieve greater energy savings. This is especially appropriate in light of our campus theme this year, which is sustainability. That also is the theme of the campus common reader. And to me, sustainability means that we all have a responsibility to leave this campus in better shape for those who follow us. That is true of our physical environment, our organizational structures, and our fiscal health. We have made great strides and are using best practices in our building projects and monitoring and reducing energy use in existing buildings and outdoor lighting. New practices in our dining halls are reducing waste. We continue to increase the amount of food available in the dining halls produced locally at university farms. We see more recycling bins around campus, Using student-initiated and student-funded Green Fee, the Sustainability Council has awarded funding for great projects such as the green roof on the Ag building. We now have a sustainability coordinator, and you will soon learn about a new initiative called the Sustainability Pledge. Our faculty members are leaders in research in such areas as water resources, environmental studies, fisheries and wildlife. And because our research is conducted on our campus and throughout the incredible natural environment that surrounds us, we can be leaders. Our students benefit from these efforts to create undergraduate research opportunities, translate the new and exciting curriculums, and generate new possibilities for graduate students. You'll find best practices in sustainability in the Transportation Education Center, the new geothermal home of our automotive and aviation programs is an incredible facility. Located at the Southern Illinois Airport, it provides outstanding teaching, learning, and research opportunities and will be a great recruiting tool. We will hold a grand opening celebration on October 26th, so please put that on your calendar. I hope you will join us. Construction of the new student service building is on schedule for completion next year. This impressive facility will present a wonderful front door to the campus and offer improved services and one-stop shopping for our students. When completed next summer, it will house 19 departments, including the Bursar's Office, Financial Aid, University Housing, and University College, and so much more. We then plan to undertake an extensive renovation of Woody Hall. Earlier this summer, we took the first step in implementing our new housing master plan with the demolition of the triads. Our long-term plan eventually will lead to the removal of the towers. We look forward to creating a more attractive housing area that are responsive to the expectations of our students and that contribute to their success. These projects are among the most visible on campus. Our focus is on student success, and we continue to invest in classroom upgrades. This is a photo of the major renovation to French Auditorium in Lindgren Hall, bringing it from the 1950s to the 21st century. We have upgraded 20 classrooms from low-tech to smart classrooms over the past year. We will upgrade 12 more. 60 general classrooms will be renovated, as will 15 teaching labs. Roofs are being replaced on 5 buildings, and renovations continue in Fainter Hall and the Ag Building. The new pedestrian mall outside of Fainter creates a more attractive area for members of the campus community and our guests to gather, but key to this project is enhanced safety with a much brighter and energy-conserving lighting, something long needed in this area. Other projects are underway or planned include heating, air conditioning, ventilation systems, primary electrical distribution systems, and infrastructure repairs. The renovation work at Pulliam Hall will create long-needed space for the School of Art and Design and the School of Social Work. The planned remodeling of Quigley Hall will create a home for all of architecture programs. Once all these projects are completed, the Blue Barracks will become only a memory. With the release of $2 million, the planning money from the State Capitol Board, we're designing the addition and the remodeling renovations of the communications building. Pending the release of the construction funds, we hope to put shovels in the ground in July of 2013. The staff of the plant and service operations have been doing a great job on all of these projects and many, many others. And I want to thank them for their dedication and commitment. I want to also give a shout out to the grounds crew, which continues to do an incredible job with the appearance of the campus. We also are pursuing an aggressive program designed to upgrade our information technology infrastructure, and I appreciate the hard work of the IT staff. This includes expansion of our bandwidth, network security, hardwire and wireless connectivity to our academic and student life buildings. We are collaborating with the City of Carbondale on a grant proposal to bring additional fiber connectivity to the outlying areas of the campus. So as I close, I must say that the past year has been full of accomplishments on every corner of the campus. Our faculty, students, and staff are incredibly passionate and productive. Bear with me. I have to share a few examples. You may recall from this last spring, but it's definitely worth repeating. Three of our students, Lee Stewart, Jessica Stout, and Jordan Cabot, were among just 60 nationwide named to USA Today's All-USA College Academic Team. Lee and Jessica were named to the 20-member first team, a distinction that no other university in the country could claim. These three students definitely deserved the honor. But they had some help along the way. The staff of the University Honors Program and the faculty who teach and mentor our honor students share in the honor. Faculty across the campus published more than 1,000 journal articles, 66 books, 139 book chapters, 20 productions, and 60 exhibitions in 2011. They also made 583 presentations at international conferences, more than 1,000 at national conferences, and 473 at regional and state conferences. One of the highlights last spring was the Antarctica Imagined Geographies, led by the College of Mass Communication and Media Arts. 33 campus and off-campus events included panels with SIU faculty members from a wide range of departments, a film series, and workshops. Guest speakers informed us about how the Antarctic-based scientists assist us in understanding climate change, what it is like living in the Antarctic, and many other aspects. Similar projects are scheduled this year. From 2011 to July of 2012, our students volunteered more than 38,000 hours of service to assist 60 nonprofit organizations. Many of you helped friends and neighbors in Harrisburg in the aftermath of the February 29th tornado. The Center for Service Learning and Volunteerism coordinated our response, and what a response it was. You contributed enough non-perishable food, personal and household items to fill more than 65 boxes, and more than 150 students and a dozen faculty and staff contributed more than 1,000 hours of service. It's really outstanding community service. The tragedy of that tornado and its aftermath are captured in this book, produced by the School of Journalism. Proceeds from the sale, 4:56 a.m., are being donated to the ongoing recovery efforts in Harrisburg and Ridgeway. We just learned that well over $10,000 has already been raised and above the cost of the printing of the book. The law school earned an impressive A- in the National Juris annual ranking of best value law schools. I would add that while most law schools in Illinois saw a drop in applications this year, applications to our law school increased 3%. A team known as the Hot Dogs, comprised of electrical and computer engineering students, participated in Intel's Cornell Cup. Our team, Sentry, was an intelligent, energy-efficient heating and cooling system for resident homes. The Hot Dogs earned the honorable mention ahead of teams from universities such as Purdue, Columbia, and the University of California, Berkeley. The Black Resource Center, part of the Center for Inclusive Excellence, has introduced the Black Male Initiative this year. It is designed to facilitate and provide intensive, regular, and after-hour programming to meet co-curricular needs of our Black male students. Student athletes and coaches distinguished themselves over the last year. The men's track team won its first conference indoor champion since 1992, and Coach Connie Price-Smith was named Missouri Valley's Indoor Coach of the Year. 13-time All-American Geneva McCall, and that's a school record, by the way, won the NCAA championship in the indoor weight throw and outdoor hammer. That's Geneva in the center of the photo. Three of our swimmers competed in the London Olympic Games, as did several of our track, and two of our coaches participated in the Olympics. I want to mention the outstanding community service work of our student athletes. This is particularly important because they are role models and ambassadors. The SIU Alumni Association contributes to support our recruitment and retention efforts in multiple ways. In addition to scholarships, support of Saluki Cares, and extern travel, the association provided 35 students with more than 15,000 in textbooks and supplies this year. The College of Education and Human Service continues to do outstanding outreach in our communities and local school districts. Again, this summer, the college partnered with the Egyptian School District in TAMS for 2 weeks of hands-on learning experiences for the high school students. Collaboration is also at the heart of the National Hazards Research and Migration Group, headquartered in the Geology Department. It is funded by multiple federal and state agencies and private organizations, and projects have included development of hazard migration plans for more than 40 Illinois counties. The group is also working with Olive Branch in Alexander County in its efforts to rebuild a flood-resistant community following massive flooding in 2000. I know some of you are aware that we have switched vendors for our beverage and snack machines around campus. Our new pouring rights agreement with Pepsi Mid-America of Marion creates exciting new opportunities to better support our students over the course of the next 10 years. This exclusive beverage program results in significant revenues that will be directed toward a Chancellor's Excellence Scholarship Fund. These scholarships will be used to grow our enrollment by attracting high-achieving students to SIU. A huge thank you to our staff in securing this important contract. So the changes we've been making and that can continue to make are preparing us for the challenges that lie ahead, many of which I've described today. Our strategic plan, which is nearing completion, will guide us in the next decade. The newest version is posted on my website, and we will accept comments for the next month. I also plan to schedule weekly listening sessions with members of the campus community to ensure that everyone has an opportunity to be part of the conversation. It is essential that we continue working together to change the culture of our university because we can't go back to the way things were. Change can be uncomfortable, but change we must. We can't be content to meet the expectations of our students and their families, of the communities we serve, and of society. We must exceed them. That is the spirit that I see every day on campus. I'm confident that we're primed for success because of your commitment to innovation and collaboration. Thanks to your talent and passion and energy, our community is strong.
This special online presentation of the State of the University Address by Southern Illinois University Carbondale Chancellor Rita Chang is made possible by listener support. This is WSIU Public Radio, your NPR station.